when Penn Square Bank collapsed. You were there. Tell us about your experience.
Not my favorite bankruptcy law. It's not my favorite kind of law. I don't remember anything specifically. We got a ton of cases out of that.
Energy-related issues, of course.
Yeah.
Here we have oil and gas in our state. Well, not just our state, but the region.
Yeah, and it's a learning process because, of course, I never had an oil and gas case in law school. Or Indian law. We have a lot of Indian law cases, which are fascinating.
Was there any area that you enjoyed the most?
Oh, I like constitutional law issues. You should ask me about my most famous case, which
was...
Now I can read briefs on my iPad, but they used to all be printed off. I've actually gone back to that because I like to scribble on them. But I would be sitting for 5 days on the library table out there would be the stacks of briefs. So I'm out there looking through just the preliminary, and I see Brown versus Board of Education.
Yeah.
This is like 88 or 89, I can't remember. And I'm going, what? And it's got a really old case number on it. Well, I'm reading the briefs, and I find out that the little girl, you might have noticed, you may not have noticed out there, I have a print of her up on the wall. The little girl in Brown versus Board, by the time the Supreme Court decided it in 1954 and sent it back to federal district court in Topeka, Kansas to desegregate with all deliberate speech, she'd graduated from high school. The case sat there. I don't know where the lawyer was, but the case was never closed. Usually the district court will close a case and that'll be the end of it. It was still open, the original case, and when that little girl became a mom and her little girl was starting school in still segregated schools in Topeka, Kansas because they never did anything about it, she reopened the original case and argued that the school system in Topeka had never been desegregated. A district judge said, oh, you can't do this, it's late, threw it out, came up to my court. She attached a lot of evidence that they were still desegregated. We said, oh, yes, you can. Sent it back down, and they ended up creating a magnet school system in Topeka, Kansas.
Wow. Wasn't that fun to be part of that?
That was fabulous to be part of that. Yeah. I mean, it was shocking. You know, I had no idea that the case had never ended.
You are essentially reviewing the work of other judges.
Yes.
So are you kind to these judges? And
I'm kind. I believe in being kind. Most of us are kind.
But you have to push back.
Well, you have to reverse them when they're wrong. And sometimes, you know, we have things like due process of law in our Constitution. What the heck does that mean? You know, that's been decided over many years by cases, but that's a broad term, or equal protection of the law. So sometimes it isn't clear. And that's one trial judge who's making a decision of the law and how it applies in a case. And it comes up to us, and there's three judges, and we're rethinking that. So it's not always the trial judge. It's just sometimes the law is vague and needs clarification, and we do that. Sometimes it's misapplied. Sometimes it's because the lawyers write such crummy briefs in some cases that they don't educate the trial judge sufficiently about the law. Sometimes the law changes between when it's done in the trial court and when it gets to the circuit. So there are all kinds of different situations. You have to ask the trial judges how they feel getting reversed.
Well, you probably know how they feel.
I got reversed a couple times by the Supreme Court.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did you handle that?
Oh, I had to redo a case once, but it ended up, I think Scalia wrote the opinion. I can't even remember what the issue was. We had to rehear it, and I rewrote it, and I came out the same way. You know, this process is interesting.
Right.
I'm still doing it because I love it. Senior judges, that's one thing that's fascinating about federal court. We love our jobs. 25% of the entire federal judiciary, appellate and trial, are people like me, and I'm working for you for free. Because when I turned 65, I got full salary for life, and I could have quit and gone into practice. But I didn't because I love my job. So it's a pension now. I'm working. I could be working someplace else.
And drawing this pension.
And drawing this pension.
Right.
But 25% of the entire federal judiciary trial and appellate are people like me.
Because they enjoy
Because it's
it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And because I could reduce my load. I went originally to 40%, and then I recently went down to 25% because I travel a lot.
You just told me before, you got a call today from Justice Sotomayor.
Yeah. The message was she wants to ask about a Tulsa lawyer. I have no idea what, because when I called back from home, since I sort of dawdled my way in. Now, well, apparently she did too, because when I called back, it was her office number. She wasn't in yet. So I have to call her back and see what she wants. But she's our circuit justice, and I know her personally.
I've met her, and you, obviously, she's a real pleasing, easy person to get along with. So will you just get a call on your desk, and the justice will be on the phone? Or do
That's
they
not common, but every now and then, something comes up.
Our former attorney general, our former dean of law school, our former president of Oklahoma City University, nominated to the bench by Bill Clinton in 94, Robert Henry, and the two of you were on the circuit at the same time.
Yes. He became a good friend. He's a delightful guy. We had a lot of fun.
And so you would work on cases together.
But we're randomly selected for cases. That's a very significant point. Once upon a time, the chief of the circuit put the panels together of three, just sort of picked them. That went out sometime in the 80s when actually a Republican judge says, shouldn't we be doing this randomly? And we all said yes. So which judges sit on a panel could end up being all Democrat appointments, all Republican appointments, or a mixture, because it's done by computer, the panels.
Okay.
So it's a very fair process. And shortly after Danelle Taha, the second female on the court, got appointed, we ended up with an all-female panel because there was a district court judge from Denver who was sitting with us. We had visiting judges when our caseload was growing so fast. She was sitting with us, and we got randomly selected as an all-female panel. And the looks on the faces of some of the guy lawyers when they came in the courtroom was kind of funny.